kids, have you got my mic working? Today is Pentecost Sunday, and it's the day that we're reminded of the Holy Spirit coming to earth, being given to each and every one of us. It is one of the most incredible moments, if you'd like, in the Christian calendar and our Christian walk, when God gave you and me the Holy Spirit. Do you know, if you're not excited about what the Holy Spirit means to you and in celebrating that, today I really want you to grasp hold of that because it is life-changing. And the title of my message today was The Holy Spirit, Power for Life. And if you haven't grasped that, I hope by the end of this sermon today and of God speaking to you through these words and through these Bible verses, you will understand the power that God wants you to have in every single day of your life. Okay, so just to put a few bits into perspective, the gift of the Holy Spirit to those early disciples, it was the start of everything. They'd had Jesus with them. And then Jesus left them and they didn't quite know what to do. And then all of a sudden, I'm not quite sure what they were expecting, but Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came, and everything in their world changed. Okay, it wasn't just a little bit of change. Every single thing, their day-to-day, every single part of everything they had changed. It was totally transformatory, life-changing. And that is exactly the same for you and for me when we access the Holy Spirit. It should have as big an impact on us as it did for those early disciples. They went from hiding and feeling like they were lost to feeling like we are empowered, we can do anything. And 3,000 people in one sermon got saved, got added to their numbers. They went from maybe not being able to do too much to actually being able to perform miracles and have great things happen to them, and life changed. Their purpose changed. What they were changed. They weren't just disciples of Jesus anymore. They weren't just fishermen anymore. They were like full-on apostles doing what God wanted them to do in that moment. So I want us to read a little bit of that together, that story together. So in Acts 1 verse 8, this is Jesus saying, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." It's incredible that you'll just receive power. "And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." I mean, it's incredible that Jesus actually linked that together, and it's going to be an important part of us remembering. When Jesus said, "You're going to have the Holy Spirit," actually he said, "You're going to have power to do something." And one of the biggest things Jesus said was, "You're going to have power to witness. You're going to have power to go. You're going to have power to do." It wasn't a little present that you can feel really nice with. Actually, the gift of the Holy Spirit was a very purposeful something that Jesus said we need to do something with in our lives. And in Acts 2 verse 41, this is the end of the day, and it says, "Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 of them were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." That's the transformatory sort of aspect that we should expect in our lives when we fully embrace the power of the Holy Spirit with us every single day. And we're going to use some of what happened in Acts 2 there as a bit of our blueprint about how we're going to have a look at how that should work in our own lives. So my message today isn't just about what happened 2,000 years ago to a bunch of apostles. Actually, that same power is available to you and to me. The gift of the Holy Spirit is as available today as it was then. And it's not just available for us to go and dig into. It's something that God gives us, puts in us, and enables us to just embrace every single day. It's not a tool that we pick up, but it's something that is a growing part of each and every one of our lives. If you've been a Christian for a long time and you've already accessed some of the greatness of the Holy Spirit, fantastic. If you haven't yet, fantastic, because God still has a work to do in you and with you, and it takes us embracing the fullness of what God has got for you. We want to live in the Holy Spirit, and today I pray that each one of us can realize again that powerful life that God wants us to have. So, to start with, right at the very beginning of Acts 2, or Acts 1, we read that verse about you're going to receive power and you're going to be my witness. So, the first thing that I think is going to come in your life when you really embrace the power of the Holy Spirit is you're going to become a witness. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's an incredible moment that we get to be a witness of who Jesus is. It's a massive privilege. It's not something that we get and we keep. It's something that we're supposed to get and go, this is so incredibly exciting that I want to tell and show everybody who Jesus is and what he's done for me and what he can do for you. And there's that word in the middle of that. We need to remember this all the way through this. You're going to receive power. Dunamis. It means power, it means strength, it means ability, it means miraculous, it means something that isn't natural, but something that is beyond sort of easy natural. Okay, so it's not just strength, actually, it's that idea of something beyond that. That's what we're supposed to do. Great, what we're supposed to do? Be witnesses. But witnessing who Jesus is without the Holy Spirit seems a little bit, I don't know, pointless. Because actually the whole point of the Holy Spirit is to help us witness. And yet so often we don't think about the Holy Spirit and witness being together. And one of the biggest purposes of the Holy Spirit was so that we can go and witness. So the best way of witnessing is with the Holy Spirit. So when you look at some of these other verses, you're going to realize, now it all makes a bit more sense. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 and 8, for the Spirit of God, the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, self-discipline. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Straight away, again, linked, our testimony, witnessing, not being timid, but being bold when it comes to the Holy Spirit. So don't be ashamed of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit never makes you timid, never makes you ashamed. He just makes you bold to be able to go and do what God has done. Remember this verse from John 16, verse 8 and 9. And it says, and when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin. Because the Holy Spirit is already at work convicting people. He's already helping them see their mistakes. He's doing the job before we even get there to be able to witness to people. And our witness isn't to convict somebody of sin. Our witness is to say, you know that sin that you've got in life? Well, here's the Savior. Here's the person who makes a difference. Here's the person who can rescue you and join you back to God. Because pointing out our sin, that's the Holy Spirit. Pointing out their sin, that's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to show Jesus. Our job is to show the love of God that wants to embrace people close to himself. And in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5, this is Paul saying, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Our message of Jesus is going to show the Holy Spirit's power, not just with miracles or healings or with anything else, but actually even in our words. The Holy Spirit anoints your words that when you go and witness about who Jesus is, it's going to be powerful in a way that isn't tied into human wisdom, into human knowledge, because God is bigger than any human knowledge than we've got, and the Holy Spirit can help us within that. It needs to be, what we need to communicate is actually that incredible power that is our story. Because if you're a Christian, you've gone from death to life. You've gone from hopeless to hope. You've gone from not really having a purpose to having an incredible God-given purpose. Well, that in itself is the most incredible testimony that you can have. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was dead, but now I'm alive, and I'm alive with Christ in me. And I want to read this passage to you from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. But the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to mere human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If you don't grasp that in one go, go back and read that again, and you'll start to understand that actually the Holy Spirit gives you an understanding of something that is beyond normal. And we're not just supposed to do it in our own mind, in our own strength. We're supposed to witness through the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Spirit who helps us to know what God's mind is, what God's purposes is, and have that everyday power, because witnessing should be a huge part of every Holy Spirit believer's life. I almost want to charge you that says, if the Holy Spirit is moving in you, you will not be able to not witness to who God is. And actually, our everyday life should be a witness of who Jesus is and his Holy Spirit living within us. Okay, second point. In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. And this is something that the Holy Spirit does. We've already read some verses that talk about how the Holy Spirit teaches us. But actually, the Holy Spirit helps as well to make the Bible alive, helps to make Scripture alive. In John 14, verse 26, it says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. It's an incredible moment, isn't it? That actually, should we know the Bible? Yeah. But actually, the Holy Spirit's going to be with us every single moment of every single day, reminding us, showing us, and teaching us. We should also be fastidious in the Word of God, know the Bible well. But actually, when the Holy Spirit's in us, we know what we ought to do. We have that conviction every day. We're being taught in every moment. And as long as we're connected in to what God has, he's going to teach us, he's going to show us, he's going to quicken things to us, he's going to refresh things to us. And actually, every day that you have with God, with the Holy Spirit at the forefront of your mind, is a teach day. It's incredible. That's how God works. Just being in church today is going to help you, because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, not only in the words that I'm saying, but just the Holy Spirit's going to speak directly into your life, into your situation, with the things that you need to know and the things that you need to be taught for this moment. That's then up to us to be able to respond to it, or to be able to say, I don't want to hear that because it hurts. And actually, we want to be able to hear from God in every single moment. Remember, when you read the Bible, you're also reading the Holy Spirit, because in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you read the Bible, it's just a book, and it's not. It's the inspired Word of God. But when you read the Bible with the Holy Spirit inside you, something comes alive. And if you haven't experienced that, pick up your Bible and read it. Because I don't believe you can really read the Bible and not have the Holy Spirit make some words just jump off the page at you. Make some things just come really alive to you and quicken things in your heart that say, man, this is just what I needed for right now. And it was a book that was written thousands of years ago, but actually it's still alive and active and relevant for you today. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sakes. You became imitators of us and the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit helps you know how you ought to live every day. Some of that was being imitators. Some of that was following the apostles and doing right by way of like good family moments and all those sorts of things. But actually, the pattern that's there of the Holy Spirit every single day is going to teach you, is going to show you, and it's going to help you to do a really good job in life. I mean, really, the Holy Spirit is the original influencer. You know, you have these social media influencers, they tell you what products to use, what brands to have. They write podcasts, they make books, they go on the TV to try and prove themselves right. And actually, we've got the Holy Spirit who shows us everything that we need. And you know what? He's not going to become irrelevant in 3 months' time. He's not going to have to come up with something incredibly wacky to try and get attention because he's God. He's the original truthful influencer that we can follow every single day with teachings every single day that is going to give us something new every single day to live in the fullness that God has for us. If you want a power life, actually all it takes is following the Holy Spirit's guidance every single day because it's going to transform how we live. But it's so easy to wake up and do the old. Every influencer wants you to wake up, read something on your social media page, and change your life. Do you know the original person who wants you to do that is the Holy Spirit? And actually, we need to wake up every day and decide to say, I'm going to be influenced by the Holy Spirit today. I'm going to make my life powerful today, not by following one of those trendsetters, but by following the original trendsetter of Jesus Christ, because he's going to change my life for the good, and he's going to be the best for eternity. Never, ever changing. Incredible moment. Thirdly, in Acts 2:42, is this great Christian word that you've probably heard if you've been around in church for a while called koinonia. And it's all about fellowship. And it's a hard concept in English, modern society, to really get a sense of what this means. But it's participation. It's being part of a proper team. It's maybe a deep alliance or... really, imagine a perfectly functioning, really good family. That's what this all means. And actually, when these disciples and those people that got saved really accessed the Holy Spirit, do you know what came? Family. Do you know what came? Fellowship. Do you know what came? Friendship. And it changed every part of their world because they were together. To make teamwork, to make family work, if you've ever tried that without the Holy Spirit, it's really hard. There's fractures, there's divisions, there's problems, there's situations arise, there's personalities. We know that so much in the world that if you go to some businesses, you have to do a personality test to see if you fit in with the team. And somebody's interviewing you, not just to see whether you're good, but actually, do you fit in with the team? Do you know, we don't have an entrance requirement to church. We have an entrance requirement to Jesus that says we're going to follow him, we're going to love him, we're going to do what he says. We have a phrase at Destiny that says where everyone's got a future, because that's the same as what Jesus said to you and me. It didn't matter about our sin, it didn't matter about our past. He takes us right where we're at and he says, right, let's go forwards from here, not in disunity, but together in unity. There's no wonder that the gifts of the Spirit actually bring us together, join us together. Because God knows that without the fruits of the Spirit, we're going to be a bit fractured. So the fruits of the Spirit, yes, they bring unity, but if you have a look in like Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you know, great fellowship, great togetherness is going to need the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to help bring great togetherness. If you're not feeling as connected as you should to church, just get some more of the Holy Spirit and do what he guides you to do, because he's going to make you hospitable, he's going to make you connectable. You're going to want to have compassion for the people that you're working with, because that's what happened in Acts 2. They had so much compassion that if they saw somebody in their group who needed something, they sold their coat. They just gave to each other and they all worked together in everything. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do in fellowship. Okay, fourthly, talks in Acts 4:22 about breaking of bread. Now this was twofold. It was communion of remembering Christ's death, but actually it was also a big part of this was eating together as believers. Not just coming together in a congregation, but actually breaking bread together, remembering with other believers what Jesus had done. This was about being in each other's homes. This was about remembering what Christ had done for us. And it's both important in both ways of the Holy Spirit helps people get together and the Holy Spirit helps us remember who Jesus is. Because remember, hospitality is a gift of the Spirit. So you might just be naturally gifted at being hospitable, but when the Holy Spirit's inside you, it's going to be one of those gifts as well that's going to help you to be hospitable to people. And the Holy Spirit is constantly reminding us of our salvation, constantly reminding us that Jesus saves us. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. He who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. And who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee that we're going to be sorted with God. It's a guarantee of our salvation. It's a guarantee of actually remembering God loves us, and chose us to be in Him, in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Your life comes because of the Holy Spirit in you, and actually remembering Jesus Christ and His death and how He was given life comes because of the Holy Spirit in us. It's just incredible to know that God and the power of the resurrected Jesus is actually living inside me and inside you. And whether you like it or not, God deposited it inside you, put His mark on you and said, you're called out, you're from me, and that is the Holy Spirit right there inside you with full access to all that I am. There's no wonder every time we get the Holy Spirit and we become aware of the Holy Spirit, we remember that sacrifice of Jesus and we remember what He did for us because He marked us out and set us aside. It's incredible. Okay, the fifth thing that those early disciples did, they prayed. Simple one, really, but they were together and they prayed. But just remember what some of the prayer in Acts did. In Acts 4, verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So just be careful when you pray that the foundations of the building that you're in are okay. Because if you're praying with the Holy Spirit, actually, you should expect a few earthquakes around. You should expect a few things to dramatically happen. They did all the way through the book of Acts. And that was part of their expectation was, when I'm praying with the Holy Spirit, there is so much power in that connection that things are going to shake, that things are going to move, that dramatic things are going to happen. That was their expectation. Are you hearing me? What is your expectation this morning when you pray? Is it just a little list and, yeah, okay, God, if you get round to it? Or is it actually, I'm going to pray with the expectation for God to do miraculous things, because that's what the Holy Spirit does, is He shakes things around. It's incredible. In Romans 8, verse 26, as well as a famous verse that says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we need to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. That's great. If you don't know what to do, actually just connect with the Holy Spirit because He's going to help us to pray. You might not know what those words are, but the Holy Spirit's going to do it and He's going to take our heart and connect it with God. And then there's another passage from 1 Corinthians 14 that says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. I'll sing with my spirit, but I'll also sing with my understanding. Our communication with God is so important. Praying to God is so important. But praying to God through the Holy Spirit, that's going to shake your situation. And it's going to make sure that you're praying for the right things and you're going to have a miraculous response. That is how a powerful life through the Holy Spirit actually happens. Okay, number six. There's only seven of these, so you're nearly at the end, okay? Number six is all about signs and wonders. So a lot of people really like this bit because that's what they think the Holy Spirit is all about. And He is. Miraculous things. But think about some of these things as well. We've just been talking about witnessing, and they all came for that purpose of wanting to show God's miraculous power. Is this what could be said of you? Acts 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. How about God did extraordinary miracles through me? Ooh, that's quite a challenge. But that might be one of those prayers that you need to have in your heart today that says, God, through your Holy Spirit, I want you to do extraordinary miracles through me. You might have never had a miracle happen right in front of you that's enabled you to really feel like God's power has worked through you. Well, today might be the day that God enables that to happen through you. I don't know how all of that works necessarily, but I do know that God wants us to be people that signs and wonders follow us and connect with us. Romans 15, verse 19, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way to Lyceum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Because the power of the Holy Spirit in you is going to help you communicate who God is. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, there's this phrase that says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So if you've gone for the other points that we've made so far, you've got to point six. I'm not saying this is a greater gift than witnessing to God, but actually, we should be desiring more of the Holy Spirit and more of every part of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to be one of those people that is counted with being extraordinary when it comes to connecting with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to be known as just being a signs and wonders person. I want to be somebody that's extraordinarily known for fulfilling what God's plan for me is and for being connected in with the Holy Spirit in an extraordinary way. That would be incredible, wouldn't it? And lastly, point seven is those early disciples, they just praised God. That was an important part of what they did. They were filled with the Spirit. And in Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, they're filled with the Spirit and spoke to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, praise will come out of you. You'll find it very hard to stay quiet when the Holy Spirit is inside you, because the Holy Spirit is God himself. We're not very good as humans at containing and controlling the full power of God. We can limit him, but actually, once we start to open up to who the Holy Spirit is, it just bursts out of us and praise will come out of our lips. There's no wonder that one of the best ways that I find of connecting with the Holy Spirit is in worship. And I run out of words and singing songs that somebody else has written, and I start to just want to express my heart for who God is. And that's when, for me, I feel closest to the Holy Spirit. It's perhaps something that you can do as well, but being filled with the Holy Spirit is going to help you to give thanks for who God is, because he's going to remind you every day about God's faithfulness. He's going to remind you about God's promises for you. He's going to change your world. So that was number seven. So this is the end. This is the now. So it's your turn. It's maybe your turn to actually welcome the Holy Spirit properly into your life as an independent entity, as something that can change your life, to bring the Holy Spirit to the forefront of your life. Because I want each and every one of you to have that power-filled life that God intended us to have. Not just merely coasting through life, feeling like we need a bailout from God all the time, but actually realizing we've got the Holy Spirit with us, guiding every single step that we've got, giving us provision and enabling us to do mighty things for him. Because it's through the Holy Spirit that we're going to have everything that God wants us to have. And I don't know whether you've really accessed the Holy Spirit yet in your life, but today I want to give you the opportunity to invite the Holy Spirit into your life, into the forefront of your life, to take over every single part of your life, and to maybe challenge yourself in one of those seven points to say, God, I need more of your Holy Spirit to be able to access the power that you've got for me in that. Maybe you're going to decide to embrace the Holy Spirit to be a better witness than you've ever been before, or to really understand the teachings of God like never before, or to fellowship together like never before, or to break bread in hospitality and remembering your salvation. Maybe your prayer life today, you want to invite the Holy Spirit to take over. Maybe you want to see signs and wonders and be one of those extraordinary connected people to the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's just going to help you to praise God like never before. But I know that God wants to meet you and he wants to transform your life through his Holy Spirit. And today you can have the opportunity of just connecting with God again. He's always there, but connect with him again and say, Holy Spirit, take over. Holy Spirit, change everything about me. Holy Spirit, empower me. We're going to sing a song. And I wondered if you'd stand with me. We're going to pray together and then we're going to sing this song. And this is a moment that you can connect with God. This is a moment when you can talk to God and say, God, I need more of your Holy Spirit in my life. I want to live that dynamic, power-filled life that you've got for me. So God, we pray in these next moments that you will draw near to each and every person that's searching out for you. God, fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit come alive in us and let us tangibly feel your presence with us. I pray for people that want to be able to see new power in their life, that you will dynamically give them an overflow of the Holy Spirit. God, change our lives. Make our lives powerful for all that you have got ahead for us. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this song together and just welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. Find one of those points that you want to pray for. And if you're watching at home and you want to get in touch with us, please do get in touch with us. We want to be able to pray with you and help you in your walk with the Holy Spirit too. Thank you, Dan.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope.